Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC New York Public Radio, this is The Brian Lehrer Show. I'm Brian Lehrer. This is just one segment of our show, but every interview is available on demand at WNYC.org. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC On Demand is supported by DataPipe Managed IT Services, delivering a comprehensive suite of managed services, including implementing, securing, and scaling applications designed for mid-market and Fortune 1000 enterprises. DataPipe.com.
In 2006, unemployment hit an all-time low, while our bond rating hit an all-time high. Our population surged to new heights, 8.2 million and counting, and we hosted a record number of visitors. 44 million people came to visit us. We drove crime down to historic lows and made our streets the cleanest they've ever been.
So could Mayor Bloomberg have been any more ambitious in his State of the City speech yesterday? I'm still counting all the proposals. I may be counting for a few days yet. We will get several reactions this morning to begin our program. And with me first is City Council Speaker Christine Quinn, who the mayor cited by name at least three times by my count in the speech, all admiringly, such as here.
I'm Speaker Quinn, a true partner in government.
Speaker Quinn, welcome back to WNYC. Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning.
You know, there's historically been much more caution and even quiet tension between mayors and city council leaders. Is the feeling mutual between you and the mayor about being true partners?
Absolutely. You know, I think in this first year of our terms together, we really tried to act like partners. And in doing that, I think we've accomplished a great deal for New Yorkers. We were able to accomplish lobbying reform before, you know, anyone else really had even been looking at it. We were able to reform and overhaul 421A, a tax abatement program, in a way that I believe will create more affordable housing. We were able to get some really significant changes done in how we do our city budget to make it serve New Yorkers better. And among other things, we were able to pass a package of legislation that will help get illegal guns off of our streets. So I think it's been a partnership with the focus and the goal of doing more for New Yorkers. You know, I think people are tired of government being defined by battles. People want government to be defined by accomplishments with the focus of making their lives better and easier, and that's what the mayor and I have tried to do.
You mentioned 421A. That was another point on which the mayor mentioned you by name in the speech, this program by which developers of luxury housing will now have to have about 20% affordable housing in the mix in more places in the city. And another place he mentioned you was on one of the new tax cuts that he proposed.
To create the jobs that will continue to fuel our economy and to benefit businesses large and small, we will also propose three targeted reductions in the general corporate tax, including a credit to owners of small or S corporations, as Speaker Quinn has championed.
Can you explain that proposal, Speaker Quinn? A lot of our listeners probably don't know what an S corporation is.
Absolutely. You know, last year in my budget response and in the council's plan in the state legislature, we called for tax cuts to small businesses. We called for a deepening of the tax credit for unincorporated businesses and also a reduction in the state tax for S corporations. S corporations are basically largely small companies. They're companies that are held by a few individuals. And for some unknown reason, they are a set of businesses in this city where we end up taxing them more than we tax large corporations. And they really get no tax relief at all. And they're exactly the kind of small companies we want to support and encourage to grow in the city.
Now, very, very briefly, because I want to get to a lot of stuff in our brief time, how did we ever get to a point where small companies are taxed at a higher rate than big companies?
You know, it's a great question, and I don't know the answer to that. I mean, it probably relates to the fact that if you're a small business, you're spending 28 hours a day trying to get your business going, get afloat, and get your head above water. So you don't have time to go up to Albany and make your case.
Lobby for those special tax breaks.
Right, as opposed to larger corporations who have the resources and the ability to lobby the state legislature or even the city council for that matter. And smaller businesses don't have that ability. One of the things we had been planning and having the mayor's support now will make this even more effective is a series of lobby day trips with myself, my council colleagues, and local chambers of commerce to go to Albany this winter to make the case for these tax cuts for small businesses.
You mean you're going to try to give lobbying a good name?
We're going to try to give lobbying a good name.
I don't know if even you can accomplish that. Let me ask you a bigger picture tax question. In all seriousness, before we cheer for tax cuts without asking hard questions, are some of these regressive? Property taxes are already low in the city compared to the rest of the state. Clothing is already tax exempt up to $110, so this is only cutting it on higher priced items. Business taxes don't seem to be scaring business away based on the boom times the mayor is claiming we're in, but we still have all these anti-poverty needs and health care needs and housing needs. Is this money really going to where it'll do the most good?
You know, I think that is a very important and fair question. And in some ways, the issue of taxation is very frustrating if you're a city elected official, because most of the tax issues are held within state power. So the property tax is the only one we in the city have direct authority over, which is why it's the one we had to raise fairly significantly after September 11th. And since we did that, and now times are going better, I think the mayor felt, and I agree with him, that it was a right time for us to give back to the people who helped really very significantly get us out of the tough times we were in after September 11th. Now, I want to explore on the property tax, how can we look maybe at a tax credit in Albany or something else that can also give greater relief to renters? Because, you know, if you're a property owner, you'll very clearly see that relief. But if you're a renter, you have to hope the Rent Guidelines Board passes that relief on to you when they do rent increases every year. That probably won't happen, although they did pass on the increase when we did it in 2003. So we need to find a way. I agree with the mayor's property tax reduction, but we also need to find a way to make sure that renters who have absolutely contributed to our recovery get that relief also.
And clothing on higher priced, you know, in order to buy a piece of clothing that's worth more than $110, you've got to be of a certain means. And again, on the business taxes, even small businesses, it doesn't seem that, you know, business is suffering in New York right now.
Well, I think there's no evidence that large businesses, corporations are suffering in the city of New York. I think if you ask small businesses and the conversations that I've had with small business owners and chambers of commerce over the past year was what led me to really call for these tax cuts to small businesses. They would tell you a very different story, small businesses, that they do feel that they have been overly taxed and unfairly taxed. So I think they are really a different situation in the overall corporate tax structure. Now, the reality that there are still a lot of needs we need to meet for New Yorkers and that we haven't met all of them and that we can't be reckless with this surplus, I think, is really the main reason that's led the mayor to say we're only going to do this for 1 year. The property tax cuts. Yeah, I apologize. Which is fairly unorthodox. Usually when an elected official calls for a property tax cut, you call it, you know, forever and ever and ever. But to say we're only going to do it for a year and then we're going to reassess, I think the responsible part of that is, one, to make sure that we don't put ourselves in a position that we can't sustain if the economy turns downward, and two, to say that we are going to have to constantly reassess the needs of our residents to make sure we can continue to fund them on the level we need to. In addition, I have also called for a change. We would need approval of this from Albany. I believe we need to be able to have a rainy day account in the city of New York. You know, right now our budget has to be balanced at the end of every year, which is a good thing.
And last year, the mayor devoted more of the surplus to spending down the debt. which gives us more of a rainy day fund. This year he's giving it, you know, more of it away in programs and tax cuts.
Last year he created the health care trust fund. So we have $2 billion set aside for future health care costs of retirees. I would like us to be able to have a rainy day fund that we could carry, not set for a specific cost, but set aside so if there was, God forbid, another tragedy, or there was a quick downturn in the economy, we would have a savings account, if you will, that we could draw from. We're presently not permitted to do that by state law, and I'm going to go to the state legislature, and the mayor has called for this in the past, so with the support of the mayor, and try to get the legislature to allow us to have such an ongoing rainy day account. And I think that is a place where we need to put a significant part of the rest of the surplus, because the mayor's tax cuts are going to cost about $1 billion. The surplus at the end of this year will be significantly more than $1 billion. So I think you'll be able to do these tax cuts, look at expanding services where it is appropriate, and also I hope put some money aside, whether that be in the healthcare trust fund, prepaying next year's capital debt, or I would be most happy if it was in a new rainy day account.
City Council Speaker Christine Quinn reacting to the mayor's State of the City speech on WNYC. We only have about 2 minutes left, and there are so many proposals in the State of the City. Let's go down a list of some of the biggies real quick and get your reactions. For example, and we'll be speaking with the City Council Education Chair, Robert Jackson, later in the segment. But the mayor is proposing to make it harder for teachers to earn tenure. For college professors, as you know, it's a grueling process, and many get denied.
Yes.
Should the mayor set a higher bar, briefly, to earn lifetime employment for K through 12?
You know, I think looking at tenure to see whether it's hard enough is something we absolutely need to do. Now, the question will be, what should the standard be? And if you think it's not hard enough, how much harder should it be?
So you're undecided on this.
Well, we need to see all the details. The idea of checking our tenure system to see if it's working, to see whether it has become too easy, I totally agree with
okay.
that. We need to check in on that.
Next
but
one.
The devils will be in the details.
The mayor is also proposing to make it harder for the most experienced teachers to all stay in the best, most desirable schools. Do you support that?
You need to move the best people around. We need to make sure that when a parent drops their kid off in a school building, that they know that school is good because it's a school, not because it's in a particular neighborhood. And we need to move our best people around.
Why wouldn't those most experienced teachers then just leave the system? If they've earned their way through seniority, which may not be the best way to earn it, but if they've earned their way to an easy, relatively easy school in Douglaston, and the system now is going to track them to Bed-Stuy, why won't they just bolt?
Because I think teachers want to help our kids, and I think teachers believe in New York City kids, and I think if we enter into a dialogue with teachers and really explain to them how valued they are, what a difference they've made, and ask them to take on this additional responsibility and work with them in making that a fair transition for them, I think teachers will want to rise to that occasion. They'll want to see what good they can accomplish.
Another one. On juvenile justice, the mayor seems to be proposing a bargain. Less incarceration for teens who commit nonviolent crimes, but ending all youthful offender status for kids who commit crimes with guns. Would you sign off on that?
You know, we're going to need to see the details on that. Certainly, we're very excited about the idea of expanding alternatives to detention. And sadly, the reality of gun violence and how out of control it is may force us to take steps we would never have thought we would take. But we're going to need to see the specific details of that proposal and also obviously have our Juvenile Justice Committee have some oversight on it. But this move to alternatives to detention is something the council has long called for.
Do you have a most favorite and least favorite of all the proposals in the mayor's speech?
I'm a huge fan of the Nurse Family Partnership Program, and I couldn't have been more excited that the mayor trumpeted that program in his speech and
What does that do? Nurse family?
It's a nurse family partnership. It's a great program in the Department of Health where a first-time mom who's in, for whatever reason, a struggling situation, maybe a single mom, low income, you know, whatever, addiction problems, has a nurse who partners with her and works with her through the early years of her child's life to help make sure there's prenatal care, postnatal care, vaccinations, early childhood education, but also helps the mom with whatever problems she might be having. And yesterday they had a mom at the State of the City who with the nurse family partner, not only had a healthy baby, her baby's doing well, but she now has a GED, full-time job, and is trying to go to college.
All right. Did you have a least favorite?
Well, I don't know that I had a least favorite. Even though the PACB went my way on the stadium, I do love the idea of getting rid of it.
That's the three men in a room system in Albany that can sign off or not on development plans.
It's the board none of us knew existed until, 5 years ago, and all of a sudden is the most important thing you've never heard of.
So last question. To listen to the whole speech, it sounds like the city is in remarkably good shape compared to almost anywhere. Crime is going lower still here, even as it goes back up nationwide. The city's unemployment hit an all-time low as the bond rating hit an all-time high. Real estate prices went up another 19% last year while they sagged elsewhere in America. Not good for affordability, but good as an indicator of New York's desirability. But Councilman Barron says, hey, unemployment's much higher in my district, for example. Are things as rosy in New York, or as the mayor says, are we in this remarkably sweet spot?
We are in a very good spot, but Councilmember Barron's right. That good spot hasn't hit everyone equally. I think that's why I think it was in last year's State of the City, the mayor created a task force chaired by Chairperson Rangel on the issue of unemployment amongst African-American and Latino men. And I think that's why the council has, for 3 years in a row, put tens of millions of dollars into a program targeting unemployment in the African-American and the Latino community. Because the reality is this boom time hasn't hit everyone equally, and we need to seize this moment to try to capture anyone who's been left out. It's much easier to do that in a good time like this than it is in more difficult times. But we really need to continue working in sectors like construction, the automotive industry, and other parts of our city that are actually looking for workers, willing to train workers, and making those linkages with communities that are still suffering very high unemployment.
City Council Speaker Christine Quinn, thanks a lot.
Sure, thank you. Bye-bye.
And coming up in a minute, more on that teacher tenure reform from City Council Education Committee Chair Robert Jackson. Stay tuned. Thanks for listening to The Brian Lehrer Show from WNYC New York Public Radio. You can hear everything we do and check out our other programs on demand at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. And thanks.